Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Amen. The text of God's word for our special meditation on this Thanksgiving Day is recorded in Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7, which I would read as follows. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, for whose sake alone God's mercy to us poor sinners endureth forever, beloved, grateful hearers of his wonderful word. Sad to say, and yes, I've said it before, and God knows it bears repeating, the very existence of a Thanksgiving Day as a federally mandated and congressionally perpetuated holiday is a sure sign not of our country's gratitude to God, but on the contrary, its gross ingratitude to God for all his blessings. Now that statement makes absolutely no sense at first hearing until we consider why a special day of Thanksgiving had to be mandated at all. People who are truly grateful don't need to have one day out of 365 set aside by law as an opportunity for Thanksgiving. Moreover, what really clinches it is the fact that in spite of this legal holiday, created so that people could be off from work and attend church with their families to give thanks to God, most Americans, even those who regard themselves as church-going people, are not in church today. While some may be ill or legitimately quarantined or isolated because of exposure to the COVID-19 virus, others, though healthy, are so petrified by the very thought of becoming sick because they attended a church service that they choose to stay home. Practically assured, of course, for their comfort, assured by science that by staying home, they will surely be kept safe. But even aside from this current pandemic and its issues, millions of our countrymen are too busy today enjoying all of their blessings, their temporal blessings, of course, too busy that they have no time to give thanks for them to the Lord. This is, of course, Turkey Day for most people, and the vast majority do not even offer a prayer of thanksgiving at their Thanksgiving table. Where indeed are the nine Jesus asked in the gospel lesson read before. And we wonder whether even 1 out of 10, we wonder whether 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 1,000 of our countrymen is in church this morning. Well, by God's grace, we, my beloved brethren, are here. And it's a good thing that we are here in the house of God, because you and I have a lot to be thankful for. We sang together earlier in our liturgy the Venite, a canticle or song of praise consisting of this very text of God's precious word, which I have chosen for our meditation this morning. A text which reminds us why we Christians have special reason to give thanks unto the Lord, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every day of our life. It's not only that God is the only true God to whom alone our thanks is due. It's not merely that He is our maker and provider here in this world, but it's chiefly because He is our God and the rock of our salvation, and that by His grace, for Christ's sake, through faith, you and I are His people, heirs of everlasting life in heaven, and the sheep of His hand, pastured by Him in His precious word. The dear psalmist, as the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit, exhorts us to do what is natural to our new man of faith, but a pain in the neck to our old Adam of sin, in which dwelleth no good thing. He says, "Oh, come, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." While we Christians should pray everywhere, as we heard in the epistle lesson read before, it is particularly fitting that we should render thanksgiving here in God's house, in the place where His honor dwelleth. And the psalmist even tells us how we should render our thanksgiving when he says, "Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms," that is, with hymns of praise. "Let us worship and bow down, humbly acknowledging our unworthiness of all of His blessings toward us, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, as does a lowly subject beseeching something of his noble king." The physical postures are, of course, a matter of Christian liberty in the New Testament. But as they are enumerated here in this wonderful text, they describe the Christian's attitude, his attitude of heart, one of humility and penitence and gratitude and praise, the attitude that is fully expected of those who have been the recipients of God's gracious blessings. And although in His providence God maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust, as the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, we Christians have special reason to give thanks unto the Lord. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The Lord Jehovah, whose name means I am the only God that really exists. The Lord is the true God, writes the prophet Jeremiah. He is the living God and an everlasting King. He is the triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There is none other like him. He is three distinct persons in one divine being or essence, as he clearly reveals himself to us in the Bible. And he is above all gods, the psalmist tells us. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols, the idols of the heathen, are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. And God himself says through his prophet Isaiah, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He and he alone is the God to whom our thanks is due. He and he alone is the God to whom all glory is due. He and he alone is the one who is able to hear and to answer our prayers, which we offer up unto him. And he alone is the God whom we are to fear, love, and trust above all things. He and he alone is the God whom we Christians have special reason to thank for having shined in our darkened hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, as he brought us to the knowledge of the truth, the saving knowledge of the saving confidence in his gracious reconciliation of the world in Christ Jesus because of Jesus' vicarious atonement, not imputing their trespasses unto them. There is no God like him. There is no God that does what he does. There is no God that has established a reconciliation between himself and sinful mankind, all on his own, unilaterally. Moreover, we owe God our special thanks because he is the Lord our Maker, the psalmist writes in our text. He created us and the world in which we live and move and have our being. And he still preserves us and all his creatures with his all-wise, all-powerful, and benevolent providence. The Lord is good to all, the Bible says, and his tender mercies are over all his works. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Now, I suppose we shouldn't be surprised at the ingratitude of the world round about us, and even to a large extent our own countrymen, for the Lord's manifold blessings. After all, just witness how many in their foolish ignorance, or we should rather say in their deliberate, willful ignorance, as the Apostle Peter calls it in his second epistle, chapter 3, who deny God's creation of all things in favor of those preposterous theories of evolution palmed off as fact by fraudulent scientists who are wise in their own conceits. And yet, it's not that people generally don't know that God is our Maker. For God hath showed it unto them, St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1. The invisible things of him, his invisible attributes, like power and grace and mercy and benevolence and omniscience, the invisible things of him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, even his eternal power and Godhead. Being understood by the things that are made, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. But thanks be to God. And this thanksgiving on our part is particularly appropriate today, that by his grace, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God created the world not out of material, not out of scraps left over from the Big Bang or any such thing. He created everything by his almighty word, so that we can confidently declare with Luther in the first article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them. That he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. So when we pause even briefly to take even the sketchiest inventory of our temporal blessings, how we Christians should simply be amazed at the bountiful goodness evident in everything that you and I have and enjoy in this present world. The children of this world, on the other hand, credit themselves and their own efforts for what they have. They claim, as we read in Deuteronomy 8, verse 17, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. I'm a self-made man. I'm a successful person because of what I have done and what I have accomplished. That is the American way. And, truth be told, our own flesh speaks the same way when we think about our exemplary work ethic here in this world. Yet the new man within us gladly concedes that all of these benefits are God's gifts, purely out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. For all which it is our duty to thank, to thank and praise, to serve and obey him. Therefore, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. And yet, my beloved hearers, all of these temporal blessings, all of these wonderful things that we see right before us, which are spread out on our Thanksgiving table, which we enjoy from day to day, they're not the chief reason why we should give thanks unto the Lord. The chief reason is that he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. To recognize God as God, to acknowledge him as the creator of all things, to acknowledge him as the benefactor of all people here in this world, and even to appreciate his merciful providence does not make us his people. It does not make us the people of his pasture. That does not make us sheep of his hand. Rather, that imagery in our text, which is also the imagery in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," also the imagery Jesus used concerning himself when he calls himself the Good Shepherd, speaks of our spiritual blessings because of which we are members of God's own family and heirs of everlasting life in heaven. But oh, how easy it is to lose sight of those spiritual blessings when the temporal things are spread before us, as today, on our Thanksgiving tables, the temporal blessings spread before us in such abundance that we can barely see anything else. When you and I are asked today, or perhaps I should say, if we are asked today, to name some of the things for which you are thankful, don't start out with that usual list of temporal things which even those people recognize who do not know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Things like family, friends, good health, a decent job, a nice house, a nice car, financial security, with perhaps even some gold in our safe. What about the things that really count? Not just here in time, but also in eternity. Shouldn't you, as a Christian, be able boldly to declare concerning your best blessings, "I'm specially thankful that God, in his mercy, loved me, a poor, helpless, miserable sinner before the foundation of the world. I'm especially grateful to God that out of love for my soul, he sent Jesus to be my Savior, to take my place under God's law, to keep it perfectly in my stead, to suffer the penalties of my guilt by giving his life for me on the cross. I'm so thankful that because of what Jesus did in satisfying God's justice for me, God forgave me all my sins. God declared me and all mankind righteous in his sight for Jesus' sake. I'm so grateful for God's Holy Spirit, who has informed me of this wonderful news, this word of reconciliation in the Holy Gospel. I'm so grateful that by means of that gospel, he brought me to faith, saving confidence in God's mercy and grace in Christ Jesus. And I deeply appreciate the fact that by his grace, I am pastured in his precious word, so that day by day I grow in grace and in the knowledge of my Savior. That my faith is nurtured so that I remain steadfast and unmovable in my faith. That nourished and kept in the true faith by the Holy Spirit, I cannot be plucked or ripped out of the hand of my dear Savior by Satan or anybody else, but will remain a sheep of his hand even unto the end. And that's why I'm thankful for our Church of the Pure Word. That's why I'm thankful for a faithful pastor who watches for my soul. That's why I'm thankful for dear faithful brethren who admonish me and exhort me from the Word of God. who provoke me, push me to love and to good works. Why, I could spend literally hours recounting the spiritual blessings beyond price which the Lord, in His grace and mercy, has showered down upon me and my family. That's what the Christian says. That's what you and I as Christians should be happy to declare before anybody who cares to even listen to us. Behold, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? The psalmist asks, Psalm 116. What can I ever do to repay the Lord for everything that He's done for me? I will take the cup of salvation. I'm going to receive by faith the wonderful salvation that the Lord has poured out for me, as in a wonderful cup, and call upon the name of the Lord. Recognize Him as the rock of my salvation. I will pay my vows. I'll give my offerings unto the Lord, now in the presence of all His people. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. That, my dearly beloved brethren and hearers of this wonderful text, is the special reason that you and I have to give thanks unto the Lord. Not only today, certainly not just one day out of the whole year, but every day of our lives. The thing that should set us apart from those who celebrate Turkey Day on this last Thursday of November, who work hard every day for the meat which perisheth, who fix their hearts on the fleeting treasures and pleasures of this world. Oh, therefore, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. There is no merciful God among the heathen. There is no merciful God unto those who even reject the whole idea of God. But the true God is a merciful and gracious God in Christ Jesus. His mercy endureth forever. Let us therefore make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. All blessing, honor, thanks, and praise to Father, Son, and Spirit, the God who saved us by His grace. All glory to His merit. O triune God in heaven above, who hast revealed Thy saving love, to Thee our thanks we render. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior, unto life everlasting. Amen.